step into the dynamic world of the Joe Kelly Show podcast, streaming straight from the state-of-the-art radio studios of WDBO in sunny Orlando, Florida. You're just seconds away from immersing yourself in Joe's unparalleled perspective on the most pressing current events, the latest news, and everything in between.
I'm always so excited for the show to start, because I have a lot I want to discuss with you guys, a lot that I want to share with you, a lot I want to tell you about, a lot of stories I want to share with you, and I thank you all for tuning in here. We do have a lot to discuss here in a short amount of time in the next couple of hours. Florida school start times are going to be changing in the next few years. We'll get into that first. Also, Sports Illustrated puts their first transgender woman on the cover of the swimsuit edition, which that smacks of Bud Light not knowing who their audience is. Miller Lite seems to be joining Bud Light in not knowing who their audience is. And we'll get into that coming up today as well. Plus, recreational marijuana may soon be on a ballot here in Florida. So we're going to get into whether or not recreational marijuana is a good idea for Florida and Floridians. Having just spent a vacation a couple months ago in Denver, Colorado, where they have recreational marijuana, I will say that it doesn't really seem too much different than the medicinal marijuana dispensaries that we have here in Central Florida. But we'll get into that coming up in a moment. First, I do want to start with school start times changing. You know, it's so interesting. And I remember back, I mean, even to this day, I remember my school day. I remember my high school day of what the day was. It was 8:15 to 3:15. We had to be there. You know, the first bell rang at 8:15. I don't know why, but that has always stuck in my head that I got to be at school by 8:15 and that we get out at 3:15. Well, there has been study after study that has indicated that teenagers in particular would fare better, would excel more if we push back the school start times. Now, there are plenty of adults like, I don't know, me and maybe you, who would say if the teenagers didn't stay awake so late at night, they wouldn't fret having such early school start times. But evidently, it is more than that. It's more than just teenagers. Their whole circadian rhythm is different than our circadian rhythms, though I find that I often stay up late at night as well. But it's a done deal. So the governor has signed the bill that will lead to many high school students having later school start times. This is going to affect middle schools and high schools. So middle schools will begin the instructional day no earlier than 8 a.m. So middle schools can start at 8 a.m. High schools will start at 8:30 a.m. or at least no earlier than 8:30 a.m. Curiously, the start times are going to be required to take effect in July 2026, which gives school districts 3 years to develop the plans. It wouldn't seem like a school district would need 3 years to come up with a plan to move school start times by 30 minutes, because that's really what we're talking about in most cases, 30 minutes or not more than an hour. But there is a lot of coordination that needs to take place here when it comes to the bus routes, school buses, and making sure that people are able to get to school on time. Moms and dads are going to have to rearrange their schedules to get the kids to school at these different times. 48% of Florida public high schools start school before 7:30 a.m. So now they're not going to be able to start before 8:30 a.m. So a little bit less than half of the public schools are going to have to change and push it back at least an hour later. Some 19% of high schools start between 7:30 and 7:59 a.m. Supporters of this bill have pointed to studies that say that later start times would benefit high school students. Moms and dads, how is this going to affect you other than perhaps you being able to sleep in maybe a little bit later, not having to wake up your kids so soon? This could also, though, depending on what time you have to go to work. You know, if you have to be at work by 8 a.m. and you used to drop your kids off at 7:30, but now school doesn't start till 8:30, you might still be in the habit of dropping your kids off an hour early before school starts. Are you going to be able to accommodate this schedule, moms and dads? Hit me up right now at 844-580-WDBO. It's 844-580-9326. You can use the open mic in the WDBO app and let me know what you think about the later school start times. By the way, I do want to repeat the word for you in case you missed it with the WDBO payroll payout. You still have 5 minutes to enter this word. The word is code, C-O-D-E, code. Just open up the WDBO app, tap the button that says payroll payout, and then fill out the information there. And the code word, the keyword is code, C-O-D-E, and then if your phone rings in the next half an hour or so, make sure you answer your phone without regards to whether or not you recognize the phone number, without regards to whether or not you recognize the prefix, the area code of the phone number. If your phone rings in the 30 minutes after submitting the keyword, make please, for the love of all that is decent and holy, and for the love of you winning $1,000, answer the phone if it rings in the 30 minutes after you input your keyword. And I overemphasize that sometimes because you would not believe how many times we call people who have just entered our contest and they don't answer the phone. And if you don't answer the phone, we move on to the next person who does answer their phone. So make sure you answer your phone if you submit the keyword in the WDBO payroll payout. Are we all square on that? A couple of things to share with you here today. All right, so Miller Lite has a new ad that has come out now, and this is really interesting. I first saw this ad yesterday. It's a 90-second made-for-the-internet ad that Miller Lite has made, not to be confused with Bud Light. Bud Light is the one that had that partnership with TikTok trans star Dylan Mulvaney. And then, of course, you know, Bud Light has seen their sales absolutely plummet. Well, at about the same time, Miller Lite, 2 months ago, rolled out a web ad that hyper-focuses on women and pretty much blasts men. But what Miller Lite does is basically trashes all of their earlier ad campaigns that featured women in bikinis, other women in bikinis, women in bikinis. Evidently, that was for a long time the mainstay of beer commercials was women in bikinis. And now Miller Lite is blasting their own previous ad campaigns.
Here's a little known fact. Women were among the very first to brew beer ever. From Mesopotamia to the Middle Ages to colonial America, women were the ones doing the brewing. Centuries later, how did the industry pay homage to the founding mothers of beer? They put us in bikinis.
Yeah, so there she's standing in front of a woman in a bikini poster, a poster for some beer ad. Presumably it's for Miller Lite. I don't know why they would show ads from somebody else. But basically this whole thing mocks all the women in bikini commercials that beer companies have utilized since the beginning of beer.
Wow. Look at this. Wild. It's time beer made it up to women. So today, Miller Lite is on a mission to clean up not just their shit, but the whole beer industry's shit. Miller Lite has been scouring the internet for all this shit and buying it back so that they can turn it into good shit for women brewers. Literally, good shit.
So there it shows them putting these into shredding devices. So they're putting in pictures of girls in bikinis in shredders and making compost out of it.
How, you ask? Ladies, take it away. First, we turn the bad shit into compost. Then we feed compost to worms, push out beautiful fertilizer.
That good shit helps farmers grow quality hops,
which is then donated to women brewers to make their own really good shit.
But there's definitely more shit out there. In your attic, in the garage, in your parents' basement, send any shit you got into Miller Lite and they'll turn that into good shit too. Oh, so here's to women, because without us, there would be no beer.
And it just goes on from there. That's the end of the talking, but that just kind of music trails out. But Miller Lite, obviously hoping that people wouldn't have seen this, Because it comes out at a really, really bad time. If that would have come out by itself, in and of itself, perhaps it wouldn't have been that big of a deal. But Miller Lite right now seemingly would be a beneficiary of Bud Light's collapse because of their partnership with Dylan Mulvaney. Or I say partnership. It really wasn't a partnership. It was just a tip of the hat to Dylan Mulvaney more than anything. But it has definitely snowballed for Bud Light, and it has shown disastrous results for Bud Light. And now Miller Lite, I would have thought that clearly, I mean, this came out 2 months ago, and the first time I ever saw it was yesterday. And I didn't talk about it yesterday because I wanted to make sure it was real. Because these days you just can't tell. I've been warning you, don't trust anything that you see on the internet unless you can prove it, unless you can prove it's true. And I waited until today to bring it up to you, because I wasn't sure yesterday when I first saw it that it was true. I have since confirmed that it is a legit ad, from Miller Lite, and they released it a couple of months ago at the beginning of, Women's History Month. So they released this in March. At the beginning of Women's History Month, what was the date? Josh, can you look this up? What was the date that Dylan Mulvaney was honored as the Bud Light? What was her 365th day of being a woman? Because I'm curious which of these ads actually did come out first. In addition, in the same March news release, it was announced that purchases of Miller Lite products supported a $60,000 donation to the Pink Boots Society, which aims to assist, inspire, and encourage women and non-binary individuals in the fermented/alcoholic beverage industry to advance their own careers through education. So it is interesting that they made reference to non-binary individuals. But they're talking about women and donating $60,000 to that. And in a news release that came out with this in March when this was released. Wow. So March 13th, 2023 is when Dylan Mulvaney was honored with the 365 days of womanhood. So these could have quite literally come out almost at the same day even. How interesting that Bud Light has basically had a nuclear bomb go off in their marketing department, whereas Miller Lite came off unscathed because nobody saw Miller Lite's commercial until yesterday. Until yesterday, it just suddenly kind of showed up. The video has now received 1.7 million views in under 6 hours. So in the 6 hours not since it came out back in March, but in the 6 hours since it kind of got found yesterday, it racked up 1.7 million views. And again, I go, and honestly, you know, it's kind of intriguing to listen to that and talk about how women were involved in the cultivation and the founding of beer. I don't know if any of that so-called history is true. I have no idea if that is true history or just stuff they made up, because, you know, people make up stuff for beer commercials. Remember the Swedish bikini team? That wasn't a Swedish bikini team. That was made up for a beer commercial. And they make up things for beer commercials. So I don't know if women actually had that big of a role in beer in its early founding, or if that is just something that the beer people made up. Either way, it is interesting that the Miller Lite commercial kind of, you know, went unseen. And certainly Miller Lite went unscathed compared to Bud Light. But what are your thoughts on this Miller Lite commercial now that says that women are responsible for the beer that we enjoy? It certainly seems like, once again, much like Bud Light, they don't know their audience. Is it not the majority of their audience is men? Men are the big beer drinkers, right? I mean, I don't want to stereotype, but everybody has to know their audience. We know our audience. Bud Light should know their audience. Miller Lite should know their audience. 844-580-WDBO. Does this change at all the way you feel about Miller Lite? Not Bud Light, Miller Lite. 844-580-WDBO, or use the open mic in the WDBO app. 844-580-WDBO. It's 844-580-9326. You can use the open mic and the WDBO app. If you are just joining us, we're talking about the school start times changing, and we're talking about Miller Lite now. Miller Lite is being questioned for their new commercial that is rather woke, but they actually rolled out the commercial a couple of months ago, and nobody saw it until evidently yesterday, and now a lot of people are questioning Miller Lite. Let's start with a comment here about the earlier school start times.
Hi, I'm listening to this about the school start times. I'm a teacher. The thing that has always been the problem here is that with high school, it will greatly affect sports and the kids who have jobs. It will greatly affect them having jobs after school. Middle schools right now start at 9:30. So there's a lot of busing issues because most buses go to all three schools. So, interesting dilemma.
Yeah, and that is going to be the biggest challenge is no doubt going to be logistics and transportation for the kids, because none of the school districts have buses that are exclusively for elementary and middle and high school. They have the same buses for all three levels of school. So that's why all three levels of school, the elementary, middle, and high schools, have different start times. That is largely so that they can use the same buses to be able to shuttle the kids back and forth. That's why they have staggered end times at the end of the day as well, so that they can use the same buses without having to buy an all-new fleet for middle school, an all-new fleet for high school. So that does make sense. And yeah, I can certainly see where that would affect some of the kids after school for sure. But man, it is going to take a while for them to coordinate the bus routes, which perhaps is why they have scheduled this thing to take place in 3 years from now. So it doesn't kick in until 2026, July of 2026. So it is going to be a while before they finally start that. We're also talking about Miller Lite, as Miller Lite has rolled out a commercial 2 months ago that kind of went under the radar. Nobody saw it, but it was basically Miller Lite crediting women with inventing beer and blasting previous ad campaigns that featured girls in bikinis.
Here's a little known fact. Women were among the very first to brew beer ever. From Mesopotamia to the Middle Ages to colonial America, women were the ones doing the brewing.
All right, so we got a few open mics about that. Let's take a listen.
Well, evidently it is true that women brewed the first beer. I just looked it up. I guess it was a woman that told her husband she had a headache, and he said, can you cook something up to get rid of that? And that was the first keg of beer that was ever made. Who knew?
Yeah, I did not know that. That's an interesting bit of history. And if Miller Lite had maybe shared that history in a kind and genial way, maybe they wouldn't face any backlash. I don't know if they're going to face any backlash or not, to be honest with you. But if they would have just matter-of-factly said it instead of, putting it in your face and then, of course, benefiting, non-binary nonprofits, that makes it a different issue altogether. My name is Joe Kelly. We got a phone line open for you at 844-580-WDBO.
Here's a little known fact. Women were among the very first to brew beer ever. From Mesopotamia to the Middle Ages to colonial America, women were the ones doing the brewing. Centuries later, how did the industry pay homage to the founding mothers of beer? They put us in bikinis. Look at this. Wild.
So this is the latest marketing attempt from Miller Lite. Ironically, it came out within days of the Dylan Mulvaney controversy for Bud Light. And Miller Lite has a whole 90-second commercial there that came out at the beginning of Women's History Month. And so it came out in March, literally just a couple days different than when Bud Light revealed their Dylan Mulvaney marketing campaign, or their Dylan Mulvaney beer cans. And my question for you is this going to affect how you feel about Miller Lite? I know if I was Miller Lite, if I was in the marketing campaign for Miller Lite, I would have found a way to pull that ad And scrub the internet of it, and just to stop it, just given what's going on with Bud Light in their controversy with Dylan Mulvaney, that is for sure.
So Miller comes out with their little commercial that's been hidden, and now we see it. Well, it's women taking down the posters of women being exploited for their bodies. Great, fine. The difference is with Miller was it was a man that pretends to be a woman. It, to me, it's an insult to all women, to my daughter, to my wife. It's no different than someone putting on blackface. You can't put on a woman's face. You can't put on blackface. It's just disrespectful and rude.
You know, that is the first time I have ever heard anybody refer to trans people as putting on blackface. And I got to tell you, that comparison works for me. That really works. And again, I go back to Rachel Dolezal. Remember Rachel Dolezal? She was the chairwoman of the NAACP in Spokane, Washington. She was born white, but identified as black. So she routinely permed her hair, routinely wore her hair in what would otherwise be black hairstyles. She darkened her complexion. Either with some sort of lotion or cream or with a tanning bed or something, but she darkened her skin and she identified as black. So much so that she was the leader of a chapter of the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. How is that different? I think that is such a great comparison. And just as black people are offended by white people in blackface, I feel like women have been at the forefront of people being offended by people like Dylan Mulvaney out there pretending to be a woman. So what do you think? 844-580-WDBO. It's 844-580-9326. Or use the open mic in the WDBO app. Paul, can you bring Paul back in here with me? Hey, PC.
Hey.
So you're saying that there's a crash on the express lanes?
Yeah, in the express lanes of I-4.
So that means if you're paying extra to drive
those poor people
on the Gucci, yep, on the Gucci lanes... Then
yeah, they're stuck right now, and there's no way to get on or off either. That's
right.
It's like the turnpike when you're on there. It's kind of the same methodology. You're supposed to be able to use it to get to your destination a little quicker, but when it does get bogged down like this, it is the worst. So they've at least got one lane open,
and there's no refund on the money that you've spent, right? I mean, you can't.
You're a funny guy.
I mean, you can't petition the state and say, "Look, I took the fancy Gucci lanes, the express lanes. I paid good money for that, and then I got stuck in a traffic crash there and delayed by an hour or whatever." Right?
Nah. They're not going to give you any money back. I mean, it works so well for the most part if you really wanted to get on those lanes, and I have used them.
I have too.
Many times. Yep. Yeah, and most for the most part, they are fantastic. But they have been cutting down. I will tell you this. Locally here, they have been cutting down a lot on the speeders because it's only 60 miles an hour in those express lanes. And if you're going 70 miles an hour thinking, I'm just going to go here and bypass every... No, they've got these traps out all over I-4 in the express lanes to keep the speeders away, so that, you know, it's another thing. You're going to pay more money if you get caught speeding, too.
Well, there is a phenomenon that exists on express lanes, on toll roads, that drivers get it in their heads thinking, you know what, I'm paying extra for this, so I'm going to go ahead and hit the accelerator and really unleash this bad boy and start speeding. And I don't know what makes drivers think that, but the speed limit on the express lanes is the exact same as it is on the non-express lanes on I-4.
Yep, 60 miles an hour. That's it. You can't. It's not there as a fast lane for you.
No.
To go 70, 75. It's 60 miles an hour.
Yeah, maybe
it's just supposed to have less volume.
Maybe they shouldn't call it express lanes, because express gives you the implies at least that it's going to be a faster lane. You can drive faster.
Well, it's supposed to have less volume, so you're supposed to be constantly moving. But again, all it takes is something like this to happen where
one
lane gets closed or something, and then you're really backed up because you can't exit back into the main lanes.
And I'm so sorry. I know you said it earlier, but where is that crash?
It's Ivanhoe. It's I-4 westbound in the express lanes at Ivanhoe.
Oh, it's a terrible place.
Yeah, just before you get to downtown. Yeah. So it's a mess.
All right, Paul Cross, we'll check in with you again a little bit later. Thank
you,
sir, very much. We are talking about the Swedish bikini team. What? Are we really? Well, yeah, I guess it kind of came up in an open mic.
Okay, radio boy.
Yep.
I've tried to maintain a sense of humor about all this, but now you're telling me the Swedish bikini team was fake.
Yeah.
Well, that tears the sheet off the bush.
Yes, 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 that does. I'm not sure what that phrase means, but it definitely does tear the sheet off of the bush.
Hey, Joe. Peter from Orlando here.
Hi, Peter.
I just heard your latest clip about Miller Lite. I guess at the end of the day, I really don't care about the commercial or the way it was presented. But, dude, as soon as you said that it's supporting non-binary, man, I am out. Have a good day.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's so they donated $60,000. Miller Lite did. Donated $60,000 to a nonprofit agency that deals with women and binary people who are binary. Whatever that means. So there you go. This video debuted on March 7th for Women's History Month. But critics have only begun recently sharing clips of it on social media, leading the beer brand to trend on Twitter on Monday, with one Twitter account saying, "It seems Miller Lite also doesn't understand their audience. All light beer ads must include a lesson on gender studies to improve their ESG scores," one Twitter account added. Referencing environmental, social, and governance efforts. Another writes, Miller Lite has joined the woke cult. Miller Lite said to Bud Light, "Hold my beer," and decided to create a new ad campaign straight out of the early 2010s. "I hate all men. Feminism to sell a drink that customers hate." That is really interesting. But yeah, if men are the major consumers of beer, I would think that throwing men under the bus is probably not the best of ideas.
First of all, I don't drink weak beer, but Bud Light believes that a man can become a woman. Biologically, that can happen. Coors Light, on the other hand, they just want to stop sexualizing women. I'm okay with that. I'll never drink their beer anyway, but I don't think they're like a Bud Light company.
And just to be clear, you said Coors Light. It is Miller Light, not Coors Light. So far, Coors Light has managed to completely stay out of this issue, which I'm sure they're thrilled to not be a part of this. They're probably beneficiaries of people who have left all the Budweiser products and may or may not be leaving the Miller Lite products.
I don't drink much beer, but man, if Tito's and Johnny Walker goes woke, I'm going to be in trouble.
Yeah, I don't drink beer either. But if tequila or if bourbon products started to do this, then yeah, that's where I would similarly be in trouble. 844-580-WDBO. It's 844-580-9326. You can use the open mic in the WDBO app and hit me up and let me know. Don't forget your next chance to win $1,000 in the WDBO payroll payout. That is coming up tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. You're going to be able to have a chance to win $1,000 in the WDBO payroll payout.
Joe, you called Dylan Mulvaney her. Would you like to clarify that? Or can we just consider you the wokest person on WDBO all day?
I don't remember calling Dylan Mulvaney a her. I don't get too caught up in that. I think I have called her both a her and a he in different conversations. And I'll be honest with you, while I wholly reject the fact that Dylan Mulvaney is a woman, she is not, I am respectful enough to people to call them by their chosen pronouns or chosen names, because it's no sweat off my back. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. I just think it's more respectful. I don't hate Dylan Mulvaney. I don't have anything against Dylan Mulvaney. And I think the whole situation's a little weird. I do think it's insulting to women what Dylan Mulvaney is doing. But I have no reason to hate her. And I'll call her a her because, look, I think we should call people what they want to be called. You know, I mean, I'm a classic example because my full name is Joseph James Kelly. So there's a variety of variations that you could call me of that name. And for a long time, I went by JJ for my initials and then J because someone got lazy and dropped a J. And I don't want people calling me names that I don't want to go by. And I don't want people calling me by pronouns that I don't want to go by. My pronouns are he, him. But if you were to call me her, she, well, then, yeah, I wouldn't care for that. I don't have a problem being respectful to people, even if I don't buy into their charade. 844-580-WDBO. It's 844-580-9326. Or hit me up in the open mic and the WDBO app. My name is Joe Kelly. Thank you so much for joining us here on The Joe Kelly Show. You can join me at 844-580-WDBO. We were talking about a crash in the express lanes as you're heading into downtown. And we've got one of our listeners, at least we probably have a lot of our listeners that are backed up in that.
So I'm one of the sorry SOBs on the express lane. The sign said that it was congestion because of 408. But you can get off at the Ivanhoe exit on the express lane, but just get over to the right side lane because it's actually the left lane that's blocked. And yeah, that's a nasty looking little accident. Bye.
Yeah, that is certainly a problem there, and it's going to be for a while at least.
It's easier to catch a speeder in the express lanes than it is to catch them on I-4 because they're going a lot faster on I-4 than they can in the express lane.
I will say that is one of the frustrating things. If you're driving in the express lanes and you see you're being passed by people on I-4, you're thinking, why in the heck am I paying money to drive in the Gucci lanes when regular I-4 is moving faster than I am? That is one of those frustrating moments, to be sure. My name is Joe Kelly. My phone number is 844-580-WDBO, or use the open mic in the WDBO app. Coming up in the next hour, I'm embarrassed to say this, one of my favorite stories of the day today, but a hand is found on a sidewalk, and it leads to a mystery. We'll get into the mystery hand found on a sidewalk coming up for you in the next hour. Stay there. So I feel guilty now. I feel guilty about liking this next story. I don't know why, but it makes me chuckle. And it's terrible that it makes me chuckle because it's morbid. It's awful. But a severed hand was discovered on a California sidewalk in Riverside, California. Riverside is outside of Los Angeles. A severed hand discovered by a resident in the downtown area about 10:30 p.m. Sunday. Investigators initially had trouble figuring out where it came from. I'm sorry. Doesn't a severed hand have at least 5 fingers on it? And don't each of those fingers have a fingerprint on it? Couldn't they just take the severed hand down to your local police department and fingerprint it and run the fingerprints and see if it comes up with someone's driver's license? Isn't that how that works? Evidently, it didn't for them. That's not how they figured it out. They figured it out as investigators initially had trouble figuring out where it came from. They later got word from a hospital that a man had shown up in the ER without a hand.
Gosh, I don't know whether to share all the funny, silly, goofy jokes I can make about finding a hand or feeling pretty pitiful, goodness gracious,
right?
About a human being who doesn't have that hand anymore.
That's what, yes.
Both? Are we allowed to do both?
Right.
Is that bad?
Yeah. I'm glad it's not just me, because that part of me wants to laugh and part of me wants to cry at hearing that this guy had a severed hand. The 60-something-year-old patient told hospital workers that it was cut off, his hand, by somebody swinging a sword. So a manhunt is now underway for the sword-wielding attacker. who the police say is homeless. Oh, so the guy is homeless, but he can afford a sword. According to the police, the assault may have stemmed from a recent ongoing dispute that they had with each other. So there you go. I wonder if they could sew the guy's hand back on. I wonder how much time went by from when his hand was severed to when they discovered to whom it belonged, the hand. We're also talking about a crash on I-4 in the express lanes. Our reporter, Paul Cross, do we have Paul handy? No, we do not. Okay. So Paul has been reporting on a crash in the express lanes. We have a few open mics about that.
Hey, Joe, although the express lanes on I-4 are slower than the rest of the lanes, as a Harley-Davidson rider, I think they're worth every damn penny because, let's face it, with those concrete walls on either side of me, I'm a lot safer in those lanes than I would be out there on I-4. That's for damn sure.
You know, I'll tell you that we, my wife and I, drive to St. Pete. We drive to the Gulf Coast probably twice a month. On the weekends, we have a foster child that we visit there. And until recently, my wife's father lived there. He has recently moved to Connecticut. But we used to drive there regularly. And I will tell you that when I drive back into Orlando, I will immediately, down there by the Mall at Millenia, hop onto the express lanes for that exact reason. Because after driving a long drive to and from St. Pete, the St. Pete area, when I get back into Orlando, I just want to feel safe. I just want to feel protected because that whole drive is a bit stressful and boring, driving down to Tampa and back. And when I get back, I like to get in the express lanes for that exact reason, because it just feels safer. There's not as many cars that are going to cause me to crash or otherwise have a problem.
Hey, you guys. It's Patty in Orlando.
Hi, Patty.
West on I-4. And in the express lane, there is no crash or anything at Lake Ivanhoe exit. It is after that, right before the South Street exit. It is a four-car accident. Everybody looks like they're okay. But anyway, as soon as you get past that, but it's pretty much at a dead stop. See ya.
Thank you so much for the update. I certainly do appreciate that. You can join me at 844-580-WDBO or use the open mic in the WDBO app. Now, here's the deal. In the next ballot, we may have a vote opportunity on a constitutional amendment that legalizes marijuana statewide for recreational purposes. We already have legal marijuana in the state of Florida for medicinal purposes. But there are plenty of signatures on the petition needed to trigger putting this on a ballot and trigger a crucial Supreme Court review. The Supreme Court has to review referendum items before they go to the ballot to make sure that they're worded properly, to make sure that they're going to be compliant with the Constitution, even though this is a constitutional amendment. All the more reason why the Florida Supreme Court has to take a look at this. So the Florida Supreme Court will be looking into this initiative to see whether or not it is going to be able to be on the ballot and make sure that the language is clear. So many times, authors of ballot measures like this one will write them in such a funky way that it is tough to tell which way you're supposed to vote on it. They'll just phrase it in odd ways, and that's part of the issue, and that's why it's going to go to the Supreme Court first. The adult personal use of marijuana proposal would allow anybody 21 or older to possess, purchase, or use marijuana products and marijuana accessories for non-medical personal consumption by smoking, ingestion, or otherwise. As I mentioned, Florida voters in 2016 approved the constitutional amendment to broadly allow medical marijuana. And that, of course, state lawmakers don't like referendums. State lawmakers don't like when we, the people, circumvent the state legislature, which is exactly what a referendum is. It puts it on the ballot for you and me to vote on it rather than the state lawmakers to vote on it. And state lawmakers don't like this. They don't like us, you and me, the unwashed masses, to tinker with state laws. So invariably, and we saw this when we, the people of Florida, passed medicinal marijuana, then the state legislature gets involved to regulate it. And they were the ones who, you know, in the early days said we can't have any edibles. We can only have, you know, such strength in the marijuana. In fact, they recently reduced the strength of marijuana. That is just something that state lawmakers do. They'll thwart the will of the people by mucking up bills that end up getting passed as referendums, which is exactly what this is. But could you get behind? Do you support the legal use of marijuana for recreational purposes here in Florida? Yes or no? 844-580-WDBO. It's 844-580-9326. You can use the open mic in the WDBO app. Let me know your thoughts there as well. I will tell you that I was recently in Denver, Colorado. We took a vacation to Denver, and they famously have recreational marijuana in Colorado. And I had forgotten that at first when we got to Denver. And then as we were walking around, I saw a couple of marijuana dispensaries. And, you know, my first thought was, oh, it's the same as the marijuana dispensaries in Florida. They're medical. And then within about a half of a second, I'm like, oh, wait, no. Those are recreational, and anybody can go in there and buy anything. And I proved it. I went in and I bought anything. I bought whatever I wanted. I bought whatever I wanted to try. And you don't need a prescription. I mean, there are limits as to how much you can buy on any given day. But as the old adage goes, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. So as when in Colorado, do as the Coloradans do. But I will tell you that and of course, I was only in Colorado, Denver for 5 days. And I am in downtown Orlando every day. But I will tell you that in downtown Denver, I saw less evidence, fewer people smoking marijuana in public than I do in Orlando. I see more people walking around smoking weed in Orlando, where it is illegal, compared to Denver, where it is legal. So do you get behind it? Do you support recreational marijuana? You know, I think once you take the appeal, once you legalize something, it's not as sexy as it once was. You know, you're not having to sneak behind people's back, you know, to be able to get marijuana. You don't have to have a drug dealer. You don't have to be, you know, using these encrypted text message apps to be able to text your drug dealer and say, hey, can we get together? Hey, you got anything to say? You just go to a store. In Denver, they've got the marijuana stores are adjoined by their convenience stores. In fact, even here in Florida, some Circle K's have already applied for marijuana dispensaries inside the Circle K's. They will have separate doors, just like the Publix locations do now with liquor stores. They have to have a separate outside door to get into the dispensary, but they're still going to have them at Circle K locations. 844-580-WDBO. It's 844-580-9326. Let's go to Gina in Orlando. You're up first on this topic. Hi, Gina. You're on WDBO, The Joe Kelly Show. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good.
I just want to say absolutely it should be legalized as for recreational. Tax it just like you do cigarettes and alcohol. There's more people that get behind a wheel drinking and driving than I think you're going to see after having recreational marijuana. I have debilitating pain on a daily basis from a very traumatic accident when I was 8, and I have a spinal cord stimulator. And if I go and get a medical marijuana card, which my doctors have been asking me to do, I could lose my job because I'm so afraid, and I know that's the only thing that's going to help me.
Wait, I've got, hang on, Gina. I have 100 questions for you. Are you ready?
Sure, you absolutely.
You just said you have a spinal cord stimulator.
Yes, sir.
That is exactly what I am getting in 1 month from yesterday.
Okay.
On June 15th, I'm getting a spinal cord stimulator. I've already done the test the 5-day test of that, and I'm getting the quote unquote permanent one installed, implanted, and then I will join you in being a cyborg, which I think is kind of cool. I like the idea of being a cyborg.
Oh my gosh! I have to charge my battery every few days, and my 4-year-old granddaughter always pretends she's charging hers too. I hope it works for you. It's been a blessing.
Yeah.
But it's still not like my leg. I am permanently handicapped because of the accident that I was in.
I hate that.
And I'm still working 2 jobs doing so. But it's tough. It's really tough. And I don't sleep, but more than 2 hours a night.
Wow.
So if I could just take something to let me sleep,
yeah.
would be wonderful.
Gina, you and I
and
are the same person.
Like you do everything else.
You and I are the same person. I also have great difficulty sleeping because of the pain.
Oh yeah.
And then I just saw this other study. A new study reveals how U.S. adults are affected by chronic pain. According to the study from the National Institutes of Health, adults in the U.S. are experiencing chronic pain more than other common and severe health issues. 2/3 of those involved in the study said that they've experienced chronic pain in a year after initially feeling it. I have had chronic pain in my legs for about 20 years now. And it just drives me absolutely batty.
We are the same, definitely, because my left leg does not bend.
Oof.
And I've had 2 knee replacements, and I just turned 50.
So what is the conclusion? Legalize marijuana, yes?
Absolutely. Tax it like you do drugs or alcohol and cigarettes.
All right, Gina, thank you so much. I'm so sorry about the
pain.
Thank
you. Good luck.
The pain. Yeah, good. Thank you. I'm so sorry about the pain that you're in. I know how absolutely terrible that can be. My name is Joe Kelly. My number is 844-580-WDBO. You can use the open mic and the WDBO app. Should we, in Florida, legalize recreational marijuana? Hit me up now.
Hey, Joe, do a little research on the traffic accident rate in Colorado and the other states that have legalized marijuana for recreational use. I think it'll open your eyes.
Yeah, I have. Colorado's rate of traffic crashes went up 18% in the year after they legalized recreational marijuana. But Colorado is not the only state that has legalized recreational marijuana. A number of other states have done it, and they have not seen the same rate of crash increases that they did in Colorado, maybe because Colorado was the first to legalize recreational marijuana and people went nutty butters. Maybe other states have learned ways to reel it in a little bit. I'm not sure the difference, but California, for example, when they legalized marijuana in California, they did not see that same big jump in crashes like they did in Colorado. But
hey, Joe, so I lived out in California when it went from medicinal to recreational, and things got really out of control out there. It was just a crazy scene. It was everywhere. I think that it's better off being medicinal. It makes you kind of work for it. You got to go to the doctor. You got to pay for the license. I don't partake in it, but I'm not for recreational here in the state of Florida. Have a great day. Bye.
Yeah, think about all the drug dealers that'll get put out of work. We're going to have a sudden rush of drug dealers that aren't going to have jobs. Won't someone please think about the drug dealers? Let's go to Ted in Orlando, joining us at 844-580-WDBO. You're on the Joe Kelly Show. Hi, Ted.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for taking my call. I enjoy your show.
Thanks, buddy.
Couple of quick things. First of all, the fact that marijuana is required to have the medical ID, that's a joke. I was a probation officer, and half of my probation caseload had medical marijuana cards, and regardless of what they were on, DUI, drug possession, didn't matter. As long as they had that medical marijuana card, if I test them and they tested positive for having marijuana in their system, couldn't violate their probation, and they were... None of these people had a real legitimate medical issue. They just went and paid the $200 in order to get their doctor prescription, and then they were spending $500 a month on weed, couldn't pay their cost supervision, couldn't pay their court costs and fines. It was crazy. So as far as it being legal or recreational, I don't think it's going to make a huge difference. But going back to that same issue, when I inquired with my supervisor if our staff had medical marijuana cards, would we be required to take testing? We were told absolutely. And after I inquired about that, I got tested pretty much every month, being told that marijuana was federally illegal, and regardless of whether it was legal in the state of Florida or anywhere else, because it's a federally illegal drug, that any law enforcement officer that tests positive will be terminated.
And it's such a great point, Ted, because it reminds me a bit of the gun issue. You know, we are here in Florida, beginning July 1st, we're allowed to carry a gun without having any kind of license whatsoever. But your employer can still say that you can't bring a gun onto the property of your employer. And similarly, just because the state were to legalize recreational marijuana does not necessarily mean that your employer is not going to screen for it and you could still be fired for it.
And they do proactive, I had to take a polygraph test to determine what my marijuana use was, one of the questions. I mean, the questions were very evasive and very personal. Basically wanting to know what websites I went to, did I look at this type of website, that type of website, did I gamble? But then the marijuana issue came up, and I was forthcoming and said, yeah, I have used marijuana in states where it was recreationally legal, and it disqualified me for the job.
Wow.
And it wasn't in Florida. It wasn't had nothing to do with my, coming to work under the influence or whether I would come to work under the influence.
Right.
It was just the fact that I admitted previously use of marijuana bins being federally illegal. They said that
I have all of 2 seconds here, Ted. What line of work was it? Now, you don't have to tell me the exact job, but I mean, what was it, like security work?
No, it was law enforcement. It was with the sheriff, local sheriff's department.
That's security
Not as a sheriff's deputy. Not as a deputy. It was like an internal civilian position.
A civilian job. No kidding. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Ted. I really do appreciate that. We'll get more of your calls and comments coming up straight ahead at 844-580-WDBO. I don't know if you guys know this, but in Iowa last week or over the weekend, both Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis showed up for campaign events, and Donald Trump's got rained out, or there were tornado warnings. And I'm going to play something for you that really cool that Donald Trump did. So Donald Trump had a couple of his door knockers, a couple of his campaign staffers show up at an elderly Iowa supporter's house. They missed his rally due to the tornado warning. And hang on, by the way, I'm going to get your phone calls here on legalizing weed. So stay right there. Andrea, Brian, Don, Chris, all of you guys, I'll get to you coming up in just a second. This is less than a minute here. President Trump, I thought this was so cool, had a couple of his campaign supporters go knock on their door and hand them a phone. Listen to this.
I'm sorry y'all couldn't come to the rally today, but we wanted to bring you some gear. And we got a phone call from someone who'd like to say, hey, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
How are you? It's Donald Trump, and I wanted to see you today, but a little thing called tornadoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they prevailed. Right. But I just wanted to say hello to you, and I look forward to seeing you the next time. And very, very special people. You've been right from the beginning, and you've been with us, and you've been doing the Iowa caucuses for a long time. So I just wanted to say hello to you.
Thank you for calling, sir.
We wanted to greet you, too.
Well, we'll take you there. We'll do that again. We'll be there soon.
Okay. Thank you.
I will look forward to seeing you both, and we'll have a little fun, and stay healthy. I hear you're looking just great-looking people. You just stay healthy, and I'll see you soon. And thank you for everything. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Right. Take care of yourself.
I really like that Donald Trump. What a gas for those two adults there, those two senior citizens. What an absolute trip for them to have the former president and perhaps the next president calling them personally to thank them for for their support and for wanting to come see them and giving them the opportunity to go see them again sometime, to see Donald Trump again sometime. That was just really cool. I know that I am sometimes critical of Donald Trump, but I just call balls and strikes. That doesn't mean that I'm against Donald Trump. It's just that some of his antics and behaviors drive me a little batty. I wish there was more of that Donald Trump, because that Donald Trump I could totally get behind. All right, 844-580-WDBO. It's 844-580-9326. Let's get back to the phones here. Brian is in Orlando. You're on WDBO. Hi, Brian.
Good evening.
Hi.
I am I'm for weed being legalized. My wife smokes. My kids, my daughters smoke. They're in their 20s, and it helps them. I just think that if we legalize it, we need to tax it the right way and to put the taxes towards something. Like, you know, if you're going to legalize it, let's set up a program for our roads and our waterways.
To set that aside for that here in Florida. That's interesting, yeah.
You know, because these drug dealers are making a fortune.
They are. I know. Who's going to be there to help the drug dealers when they're not making money anymore?
Oh, they'll find a state that pays them to sit in their room.
Unfortunately, they'll probably have to move on to harder drugs to be able to sell if they want to remain drug dealers.
Okay, so I'm a medical marijuana patient, and although we don't currently pay sales tax because, well, it's medical, I say, yeah, let's go ahead and make it recreational so we can collect those tax dollars and whack away at some debt, folks. Look at what it did for some of these other states. Colorado was out of debt in a matter of months. It's got to be done. Do it. It's going to happen anyway.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Make sure it's taxed. Let's go to Andrea in Orlando. You're on the Joe Kelly Show on WDBO. Hi, Andrea.
Hello, I just want to say I am definitely for going ahead and making it illegal. That way, all of the rates and the prices of the marijuana will come down, and it'll make it so that everybody can afford it, and then we can start paying taxes, and we won't have to worry about all this other stuff. We'll have the roads fixed. We'll have money for the schools. We'll have all this extra money like Colorado did. We need to get on the bandwagon and get marijuana legal.
I will tell you, Andrea, that if the Florida lottery is an example, if we suddenly start making the state of Florida suddenly starts making a whole lot of money on marijuana taxes, they will not cut taxes elsewhere. They'll just spend it elsewhere. You know, the lottery came along and said, we're going to use this money to supplement our school systems, and our schools are going to be so much better. Well, that just meant that the state started spending less money on schools because the lottery was paying this money to schools. So the net to schools was not any higher than it was before the lottery. So we kind of got hoodooed on the lottery being here to help education because state lawmakers decided to start spending less money on education because they were making all that lottery money. So there are issues there, too. To Deltona we go. Chris is on WDBO. Ooh, that rhymes. Hi, Chris.
Hey,
how are
Joe.
You? Hey, bud.
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Hey, listen. So I work in neurosurgery, and I'm a nurse practitioner, and I work with a surgeon who specializes in neuromodulation. I just wanted to encourage you that the spinal cord stimulation it's awesome. You know, it changes people's lives. So
I am so glad to hear that.
I just wanted to encourage you.
And I was a little bit suspect, you know, as I think we all should be about pretty much everything. But I was a little suspect
when
we did the test trial, and it was only taped onto my back for 5 days.
Yes.
But I will tell you that was five days that
very uncomfortable.
It was hard to sleep with it on and stuff. But that was 5 days that I didn't experience pain for the first time in 20 years, and I tell you, I cried. I mean, I just cried.
To have
what it is like to not feel pain in my legs, and it was just such a relief. And I have been counting the days until June 15th. That is the date I'm scheduled to have I say permanent, but you know it's not permanent, but the permanent one installed. And Chris, the woman who called a little while ago who said that she had one, she says she has to recharge the battery like every couple days. She must have an older model, right? Because the new ones don't have to be recharged every few days.
Yeah, no, they don't. But they have to be recharged. But
right.
It's usually like a week or so, you know, so...
But you don't.
The thing is you get in a routine, so, and it's not a big deal.
Sure, it's like anybody with like diabetes or something like that. You get into routine.
Yeah, exactly.
Checking your blood sugar, taking the insulin if need be. Well, Chris, mm-hmm. It must be a rewarding job for you knowing that you're helping so many people relieve the pain that they've had for so long.
That, and I do DBS too, or deep brain stimulation.
Oh, tell me about that. People what does that do?
People with essential tremor or Parkinson's disease, you know, where they're all like
their
tremoring.
Handshakes.
And, yeah, exactly. And I get to see them come in tremoring, and then I program them, and they're, you know, better. You know, not 100%, but it's amazing. The essential tremor is the best.
Yeah, people don't really understand, unless they're in that situation, the difference between living and quality of life. And quality of life is so important. And I feel for people, you know, before I had chronic pain, it never occurred to me that chronic pain was even a thing. And it's hard to be empathetic with you know, a stranger with chronic pain if you've never felt it before. And I, you know, I certainly wasn't empathetic before having chronic pain. The earlier caller said that she said it was a car crash. In my case, it's purely a result of years of chemotherapy and radiation therapy and having cancer that simply caused nerve damage, pretty much from my hips to my toes. And it just makes me crazy, and it keeps me from sleeping well at night and everything else. So that 844-580-WDBO, or use the open mic in the WDBO app. You may not believe this, but Democrats are already plotting the third impeachment of Donald Trump. So Donald Trump said during the town hall on CNN, he was asked if he would pardon the January 6th protesters. And I don't remember his exact answer, but it wasn't a hard yes. It was a, yeah, probably so, that kind of thing. Here is a Democrat senator today saying that pardoning the January 6th protesters would be grounds for an impeachment.
Pardons the January 6th rioters, the insurrectionists who almost destroyed our democracy. I think it's another grounds for impeachment. I think to so violate the American trust by pardoning the January 6th insurrectionists would be itself a betrayal of trust that would warrant an impeachment process. And I think that the motives and the potential influences on him in pardoning January 6th rioters who literally caused deaths of Capitol policemen, I think would be beyond the pale.
Can you even believe that this is where we are once again, talking about if I never hear the word impeachment again for the rest of my life, it'll be too soon. I don't think we should be using impeachment as a weapon against parties that we don't like. And I fear that is precisely what it has become. My name is Joe Kelly. Check out the Joe Kelly Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.